Last time on Wanderlust.
I haven't noticed anything weird with the cuts, but I have been having these, like, daydreams? I guess you'd call them? My mind just tends to wander off into the forest.
You came to a new town, set up your little shop, you've been the hero providing tools to town, you've rescued children, and you're going to use all of that goodwill to just get kidnapped by old ladies to drag you down to Jellyfish Town? I want to know what your goal is here. Like, you came to Smoky Banks, you have to live somewhere, I get that. It seems like you can't live where you came from, but there's a life to live. What do you want that to be here? What I'm saying is, you can make things anywhere, right? But you're here. So, find some reason to stay here.
Yeah, so I think she's, like, just tipsy enough that it's got, like, a sail with, like, a thing to hold on to. And she's just kind of, like leaning back with her drink in one hand and holding on to the sail with the other hand.
You go off that edge and just get T-boned by a bird.
A bird?
Yeah, you're bleeding. He, like, kind of, like, comes over and picks you up and, like, helps you walk over to the side of the arena, and he sets you down.
She's gonna take her shirt off, and she's gonna start using it to, like, kind of, like, try to stop the bleeding and also, like, clean herself up.
Be honest. Did you have to take off your shirt, or did you decide to take off your shirt?
I mean, in the moment, I had to, but I don't think it was the wrong decision.
I'm sorry, was that weird? Is that...
Maybe only a little bit, but I'm not complaining.
So we should practice more then, right?
Yes.
And he leans in and kisses you again and starts dragging you off back towards his house.
These jellyfish have long, swirling tendrils that dance in the lapping waters. And as you all sit down in the company of people that you love or are friends with or are hoping to get to know better, you experience a moment of profound peace, where you're reminded why a place like Smoky Banks might matter.
The wolf, the long walk, the cocoon.
I warned you, change would be coming.
No, this is not going to be an instance where it's going to be decay. We're going to figure this out.
I've heard that many times, and many times people have been right, and at times they have been wrong. I will see you soon.
The wolf, the long walk, the cocoon.
Estelle and Fred, you are still in the ruins, surrounded by people from Smoky Banks. They've now sort of quieted to a whisper, but you can still just hear that same refrain.
The wolf, the long walk, the cocoon.
Barely whispered by all these people around you in the silent ruins.
Estelle, let's see, I think prior she had been, like, trying to get Matthew to move. He's not moving, right?
Correct.
Like they're stuck to the ground.
Yeah, they're not moving.
Estelle, I think the forest phantom, the where we left off, had finally, like, gone away. So as soon as the forest phantom has disappeared, Estelle whips around back to Fred. I think we need to go. I mean, obviously we gotta go back and get everything so we can go, but okay, can you go and get Juliet and Autumn and wake them up and let them know it's like we gotta get moving? I'm gonna go find Mitchell and tell him about everybody up here so that he knows where, I don't know, like a third of the town is?
Yeah, sure. I'll go let Juliet and Autumn know what's going on and start getting preparations ready.
And Estelle has been like, she's been like tying up the sheet. Like, this sounds funny, but in as much of like a toga, like a almost like frat boy, like what you do with a sheet so that she can like move faster.
Makes sense.
And as soon as she's in a position to move without tripping over a sheet, she starts headed towards Mitchell's place.
Okay, we are going to handle Fred. You start rushing across towards the... I guess, who do you go to first, Juliet or Autumn?
I was going to say, I think they're together out on a morning run.
Would you not have noticed that you woke up alone?
I think for Autumn, that's not atypical. I think Willow goes to the radio tower a lot.
Oh, okay. I'm fine with that then. You know what? I'm going to say logistically you're making my life easier.
My thought was that Autumn would, like, it wouldn't be, like, cause for alarm yet, because I think there's been many mornings where, like, Will is like, time for morning announcements, you know, it might be a little weird, but not...
It'd be like, oh, she's early today. Not...
Right. Yeah.
Or like, oh, she normally wakes me up to say goodbye, but either I didn't wake up or she didn't wake me up.
Right, which is not necessarily the weirdest thing in the world. So, Juliet and... Autumn, you're out for, you know, your morning run, and you kind of see puffing towards you, Fred, like, running towards you as you're running, you know, around through the gardens.
Hey, Autumn, Juliet, wait up.
Fred, you're up early. What's going on? I don't think I've ever seen you willingly up this early.
Yeah, let me tell you, it's not by choice.
Did Honey get to you finally?
Not that, no. We got a situation. It seems that whatever happened in the attack, that those of us that got hit by the stuff, seems like we are being changed somehow.
Changed how?
It's kind of hard to explain. Basically, about a third of the town's out in the ruins, basically stuck there, and they're chanting this thing over and over and over again, and the forest phantom came and visited us. We were basically brought out there not by choice. I woke up out there in the ruins.
What?
Oh,
this is bad.
Yeah. We're going out to the wilds basically now.
All right.
We were given a direction to go, a mission to do. We don't know what we're going to find out there, but sounds like we need to go pretty soon.
All right, well, we'll run back.
When you
say
a third of the town, who exactly is involved in this?
Well, myself and Estelle found a way out. We're out there, and Estelle's actually on her way to go get Mitchell to let him know about what's going on. Matthew was there, and Willow was there.
Oh, no.
Autumn, like, takes off running to get stuff.
Like, back to the lofts?
Yeah.
Okay, Juliet, like, runs after her.
I think Autumn very quickly outpaces you.
Yeah, that's fine.
What does Fred do as the two of them just run off?
I mean, we'll see you, Fred, back at the ruins.
Autumn says no goodbyes.
I think Fred is gonna go back to his place and start getting ready, getting his stuff to head out, and then back to the ruins.
You see Autumn sprint off. You see Juliet try to sprint off. You see Fred be like, I'll walk back. We're all headed to the exact same place of the lofts.
Meanwhile, Estelle is, I guess, running through town over...
As much as she is able to. Like, I would say, you know, she's barefoot and... has a sheet, so it's like fast walking on
talk about a walk of shame
paved paths. Yeah.
So Estelle, you get up to Sheriff Mitchell's house. Do you knock, or, you know, okay, so wait, I gotta point out a funny thing from last time. entire scene where they're like having cute romantic moments, I'm calling him Sheriff Mitchell 100% of the time, which to me canonically means that he is only ever called Sheriff Mitchell, which means in bed, you know, you're calling him Sheriff Mitchell.
Nope. Well,
except I don't know if Estelle has ever called him that. I don't think she's ever used his title.
I don't know, but I definitely did in a way that was funny and awkward. So anyways...
Are you on a first name basis now?
No. She's on a first name basis with him.
Sheriff.
Why did you take my joke? I'm so mad at you. I'm done. This podcast is over.
She's not called the Soul Crusher for nothing.
You can say the line.
No, it's done now because this is way funnier to listen to than me making the joke. Can't even look at you. Oh.
I'm sorry.
How do I disable your video? Oh, good. I can disable your video. I can't even see you now. I'm so mad at you.
Do you knock on Mitchell's door or do you just like bust in?
I don't think she does either. I think she like, as soon as she finally gets there and like, you know, she's still freaking out, but she still is at least nice enough to kind of like slowly open the door. Like, she's not barging in. She's not knocking. If he's still asleep, she's just going to like grab her stuff and kind of like wake him up like nicely.
Go to the wilds. Bye.
So you like gingerly open the door and you just see a very confused Mitchell like holding your bra, just like looking at it. And then you walk in, he just drops it and goes, I wasn't touching anything. I mean, where did you go?
Estelle starts like untying the sheet. Okay, so I need you just to listen for a minute, okay? I have to go. Anybody who got wounded last week is currently standing in the ruins and isn't moving.
How many?
All of them. I don't know. Is it Matthew's there? Willow's there? They're all just standing there chanting.
Wait, Willow's there?
Yeah. And Estelle's like pulling on her clothes.
Ah, frick. I'm gonna have to learn how to use the radio.
This is what he's talking about.
Concern?
I think it's just like a button, but I feel like that's not the most important thing here.
We need to get medical staff up there is the issue, and I don't have a way to contact them instantaneously other than the radio that Willow has. Usually what I do is call Willow.
Yep, well, she's...
I will meet you up there.
She's standing up there, not moving. So is Matthew. So's a ton of people from the town. Fred is getting Juliet and Autumn, and we're going to get out of here, I think, as soon as we can.
So, like, while you're saying that, you see Sheriff Mitchell, like, grab his portable radio and, like, a small pack and his hat and just, like, runs out the door off towards the,
ruins.
The clinic to try to, like, grab medical staff. All right, so we cut back up to the ruins. The five of you, four of you, I don't exist. The four of you reconvening.
You're Guffy, you know, don't sell yourself short. We've regulated you to dog.
The five of you, woof.
Can Juliet run by Maul's shop?
Yes.
Okay. She knocks on the door.
When you knock on the door just kind of like creaks open.
Okay. Juliet goes inside.
When you walk in, you hear a voice, like, kind of above you, just say, "The store's not open yet. Why would anyone possibly be coming in here this early?"
Maul?
Oh, is that Juliet?
yeah, it's me.
Do you typically stop by people's houses at ungodly times of the morning?
No, it's a bit of an emergency.
You just hear a sigh, and then, like, Maul jumps down from, like, a loft and lands in front of you and goes, "What kind of emergency?"
A third of the town, whoever's been infected by the...
Look, I don't want to be a dick. It's not a third.
I didn't say a third. It's like 12 people.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was a ton.
I thought it was a ton too.
It's a lot. It's okay. Not a third. That's like 600 people. That's so many people.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be rude. I just don't. I don't want the like number to become permanent.
No, that's an important detail. Yeah. Okay.
You could have jumped in a lot sooner after I started running with that line.
10 to 12. I didn't notice it. I noticed Fred say it, and then I was like, wait, I don't think that's what I said. And then it got the next time I heard it was Caitlin. I'm sorry.
Okay. There's a dozen people from town.
No. Juliet thinks it's a third. She only knows from Fred, though.
We're not gonna do this.
Well, you know what we are gonna do is steal people's jokes, so you know.
There's about a dozen people, I think all of whom were wounded when the tree zombies came. But they're all just kind of standing up at the ruins, and Matthew's there and Willow's there, and we're going out. Fred said something about a quest, and sorry, this is all a bit jumbled, but would you consider coming with? I know it's not maybe the best thing, but I feel like you're more experienced with dealing with all of this than any of us, for sure.
I think my other option is to stay here and wait for someone to decide this is my fault. So I'm definitely leaving town until this gets resolved.
Won't that, not that I think this, but wouldn't that make you look guilty?
I'm sure it does, but it's better to look guilty than to be captured and then tried as if I am guilty. My experience is it's better to seem guilty and not be there than to seem slightly less guilty and be there. But maybe that's not a good perspective. Don't like put that as like solid advice. Don't put it in a list, but typically, yeah.
Pan over to Juliet writing this down in her notebook and then crossing it out.
All right. Well, are you coming back?
To town?
Right, after this hopefully blows over.
Last time, for me, it didn't. What I mean by that is things did not get better after they hacked off our limbs and replaced them with prosthetics, and then I left.
I guess what I mean is, I want to know if I'm going to see you again.
She pats you on the shoulder and goes, if there's still a Smoky Banks, I'll probably be here.
All right, well, take care of yourself in the wilds, and we'll try to do the same.
Oh, no, I'm coming with you. I'm running away with you. I'm not going to, like, run out into the wilds in a different direction. I mean, I'm not staying in town.
Oh, okay. Then, well, Autumn's in a real rush because of Willow, obviously, so...
I didn't...
See you soon.
Okay, bye. And you, like, you know, tear off away. And you see, like, Maul, like, grabbing a pack and a knife. And, like, a few other things as she walks around and gets ready to go.
A lady should always carry a knife. I want that on, like, every sign. No, I need that on a sign because Honey is iconic.
Meanwhile, back up in the runes, the four of you, plus Scuffy, reconvene.
I think Autumn's been trying to, like, get a response out of Willow.
Yeah, so as you walk up to Willow, and I guess... How much do you do? Like, do you grab her and shake her? Just try to talk to her? What's the goal here?
Nothing that it would be considered physical violence.
Oh, like, yeah, I'm not saying, like, do you punch her?
Well, no, like, I'm like up to that, like, snapping fingers in front of her, trying to talk to her, trying to shake her.
Yeah.
You know, like anything that, like, you'd do to, like, wake someone out of a super...
Yeah.
Short of trying pain.
So,
you know,
I'm not going to do this. It's just I have this funny image of my head of you, like, going up and being like, Willow, and then you shake her and she just, like, just, like, falls over, like, totally stiff. So as you come up and try to shake Willow, when you touch her arms, it's like at first they feel normal. And then as you squeeze, you can feel that it's just harder under her skin than you'd be used to feeling. And as you try to shake her, she just doesn't move at all. It feels like you're trying to shake a fairly old, thick tree, you know? There is no flex, no give, as
Willow is standing perfectly still. The only thing you barely see is her mouth barely moving as she whispers the same three phrases that you've been hearing the whole time.
Can Juliet do a notice check on Matthew, say?
Sure.
Either Matthew or Willow.
Sure.
On, like, how much of them is wood? And how similar this is to Estelle? Is that specific enough?
Yes and no. You can do that, but you kind of have to decide how invasive you want to be.
Okay.
Like, if you want to try to cut a sample out of somebody and microscope it, that's one thing. If you just want to, like, poke at them and go, that's sort of similar, that's another thing. So, like, the amount...
I guess I'm looking visually, because, like, Estelle's thing is visual, right?
It is, yeah.
So I'm comparing it to Estelle. I think I'll ask Estelle and Autumn, like, if they know where they would have been wounded, to kind of examine that.
Oh, that's a fascinating question. I will say Matthew was cut up all over, and I think Willow had, like, one, maybe, like, a slash on her shoulder.
Okay.
So Matthew would have, like, a lot of small wounds all over his body.
Okay.
They would probably still be there after a week, you know, like, and I weed whacked myself 2 weeks ago, and you can still see the lines in my arm.
Are they still there with the fast healing that, like, Fred had and stuff?
Fred had fast healing. That's not the same as everyone else.
No, that's fine. That's what I was asking. That is important.
I would say that was unique to Fred at the moment.
That is a 5.
So, I will say on Willow, probably, like, you could ask Autumn, like, hey, where was shirt, like, that cut? And so, like, you pull her shirt aside a little bit. And as you do, it really does feel like you're moving like a shirt on a mannequin, you know? Her body just doesn't give or bend with you, and the shirt, like, hits and doesn't sink into the skin, but just, like, folds around it. Which is an odd thing to notice, but when you're moving like a shirt on a piece of wood, you can tell, right, that it's hard. The outer layer of skin looks pretty normal, right? But where that cut was on her shoulder, you can see, like, layers in. Almost like rings of a tree, you can see layers where it isn't exactly the same texture as a cell's, but it is some combination of, like, a hard, somewhat chitinous layer in the skin that exists, like, a few, you know, whatever. There's, like, 7 layers of your skin, right? So, like, down layer 1 and 2, not layer 7, you can feel, like, this shell, basically, on the inside of their body.
Okay. And Fred did he have an obvious wound that, he had a wound, but it wasn't doing the same thing as Estelle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to talk to Estelle and see what her thing is like, if it's grown significantly since being teleported into the ruins.
Gotcha. Estelle, have you had a bandage on that the whole time?
I think she has.
Yeah, generally I keep it on.
Okay.
Yeah, so I, like, go over and ask to see it, to see if it's significantly changed with this whole change.
Oh, sorry, make a notice roll. I don't know why I was, like, waiting for someone else to say something there. Like, just forgot I have to narrate things, you know.
That's a 5 again.
Dead gum. So as soon as you look at it, you kind of know the answer is not going to be good. And as you unwrap it, you can see, like, where the wrappings are. You can already see, like, a difference in her skin and in its texture. And as you unwrap her hand, it's basically the entire hand, like, maybe just shy, like, fingertips and all the way up to the wrist has changed pretty significantly. If Estelle tries to move her hands, it's still fairly flexible. It maybe feels a little odd. And when you do, like, as you rub your hand on itself, it has that whisper of leaves rubbing together. But her hand is certainly different than it was, you know, even a few days ago.
Okay. Estelle, I was talking to Maul about this whole, what's going on. I didn't mention you by name, but I guess she is fairly perceptive and heard it on her own. But she said in her experience, you have to amputate and that stops it. Obviously, this is a pretty invasive solution, but given the rapid increase in symptoms that we've seen here, I wanted to mention it to you.
I would be lying if I said that I hadn't considered that might have to be an option. I don't think we really have time to deal with that at the moment.
Unfortunately not.
So I think we're just running with it until we get back at this point, but I will keep it at the back of my head while we're doing all this.
Right, I think we have to go out either before or after, and I think it would be significantly harder to go through the wilds without recovering from that sort of surgery. So I think that's what we're stuck with, but...
Yeah, I think so.
Wanted to say something.
I appreciate it, but yeah, I think we're just...
It sounds like Maul's coming with us, though.
Oh, well, okay. Cool, I guess.
Mandy's face.
I don't think I can even have, like, a reaction to that right now.
I don't care who's coming with us. Are we going now? Like, why are we still here? Like, obviously...
I think Estelle pulls off her pack real quick and, like, starts making sure we've got everything. Okay, so I just want to reiterate what the Phantom said, which is this wolf is a predator that we're supposed to face up north, so I don't know if y'all grabbed anything. I grabbed a sleeping bag from Maggie's place and left her some stamps for that, so hopefully that's enough. But I hope you guys have something warm, because it sounded like we're going somewhere that the temperature is going to change. Then after that, this long walk thing is getting lost to the east, and then we figure out the cocoon thing once we're done with that. So it's very vague, but is there any, Fred, is there anything I missed?
I can't think of anything. I think you basically covered it.
All right, then I think if we think we have everything, if Maul's coming, is she meeting us out there?
I think she's coming up here. Is Mitchell, Fred said something about you going to get Mitchell?
I let him know that everyone up here is here. He said something about getting a doctor, someone up to come take a look at them.
And we can't move them, right? They're just kind of standing here?
They're just kind of rooted to the ground, yeah.
Okay. Juliet is significantly uncomfortable with the idea of just, like, kind of leaving them there to the elements. Like, that feels bad.
Yeah.
As you guys are having this conversation, you see Sheriff Mitchell kind of come up the path to the ruins. He's got a bunch of medical volunteers with him. And they all, like, walk over and start, you know, poking and prodding and running tests and trying to listen for pulses and stuff like that. And Mitchell walks over to the four of you. So, any interesting discoveries to share with me?
It's not good. They seem to be taking on arboreal qualities. Just a quick examination suggests it's getting progressively worse. Not everybody's the same.
Then why are we not leaving?
Where are you? Are you just going to go punch the trees?
I will punch you, Mitchell. We have a direction.
That's okay. I didn't know we had a direction. Let's start with that.
We have to go north and fight some wolf. We are told by a ghost spirit in the woods, which normally would be the highlight of my month. But right now, I'm not feeling that.
All right. I'm sorry. You have to go fight a wolf to turn your girlfriend into not being a tree anymore.
I don't make up the rules.
All right, well, let's do this. Why don't you wait, like, maybe a few minutes, and let's hear back from the medical people, see what they can tell us, and then...
Bottom, like, walks away, like, in a huff.
All right, never mind, I guess. He just, like, turns to the other three of you. And then I need to see what to do about having a volunteer take over for me in the short term, which would normally be Matthew, but he seems indisposed.
Why do you need someone to take over for you?
Oh, because I'm definitely coming with you.
Oh, so now he wants to fight the wolf.
Why?
He, like, looks over at Autumn and goes, I don't want to fight a wolf, which is why I think I need to be there. Because you seem like you want to fight a wolf, which doesn't make any sense.
I want to help Willow.
By fighting a wolf, got it.
Again, I don't make up the rules.
Neither do I. Okay, so I can't keep letting this happen to the town, and it keeps happening to the town. At some point, this is my responsibility, and this is now not 3 tourists that got lost. It's 10 people or more who are just members of the town who are standing here, and at some point that becomes my responsibility to handle, and also I'm not letting you go off into the forest anymore with no one from the town there to, you know, be a representative of the town.
What do you mean, no one from the town? I'm from the town.
You guys have been here for 5 minutes.
Okay, well, okay, one, it's been way more than 5 minutes. But two, I know these people. I know this place. I grew up here. I
understand that, and I'm an elected official whose job is crisis management. What's up?
In narrative, I think Tetty should know that Autumn's leaving because he spies on her constantly. I don't think Autumn would tell Tetty.
That's fine. That's fine.
I just wanted to bring that up before we leave.
Yeah, that's fine.
I just feel like you, aren't you, like, this, what's happening here is, this is the in-town bit, like, who's supposed to replace you?
I don't know, honey. She has to break up a couple bar fights. What do you think I do all day? Like, I don't deal with this all day. This is way more pressing than making sure people get hauled off to the drunk tank and people don't, like...
Okay, that's why we're trying to get out of here. We're trying to go now so we can go deal with this.
I understand that, but I think that maybe, like, let's wait a minute for, again, medical examination to get done. Take care of that first. And then we can kind of make a plan of attack. Like, do you know how far we're going?
North. We're going north until we find this wolf that we're supposed to confront.
You just see his face falls and he goes, okay.
It bothers me a lot too, if it makes you feel better.
It does, actually. Yeah, it totally does. It really makes me feel better.
What bothers me is that we're still here.
Yeah, I mean, I know patience is the worst, but it's usually a good idea. As Autumn paces back and forth frustratedly, Sheriff Mitchell goes back over and talks to some of the doctors and comes back and goes, okay, so do you want to hear like a little bit?
Can I take a guess?
Uh-huh.
They've never seen anything like this before and have no idea what's happening.
No, I was going to say that they have a pulse that is consistent. So that's
okay. That is different than I thought.
That's a good thing to know, right?
It's good.
Prior to leaving, they can't be moved. Apparently, they're somewhat rooted to the ground, and they have a plan for, you know, intravenous feeding. Intravenous, is that right? Intravenous. Yeah, feeding for short term and then long term. We're talking about getting out some large construction equipment and seeing if we can dig them up, but that's kind of like a last resort.
Maybe the beetles could help with that?
That's actually a really good idea. And as you say that...
Or they could build a shelter.
Or they could build them a shelter, yeah. So they're protected from the elements, at least.
As you say that, two beetles, like, unearth themselves next to Autumn with a note written on them that says, "These are your bodyguards. They are expendable." Oh, you know what? And there's a whistle, and it says, "Blow this whistle and they'll explode."
It is a little alarming how well he knows my strengths and weaknesses at times. Autumn takes the whistle and puts it around a cord around her neck.
As you guys are talking to the Beatles, you see Maul shows up. She's wearing a backpack and like a fairly rugged looking jacket. And is carrying a staff, and her and Mitchell just kind of like look at each other and just say nothing.
Awkwardest camping trip ever.
You have the fighting parents and the angry teenager. What more do you need?
All right, so I think now would be a good time to leave.
Do you even have, like, equipment?
He just kind of looks at you and goes, now look, I don't want to be rude, all right? It's the last thing I want to do is be rude. Do you think that I was entirely incompetent for the years that you were not here?
I didn't say that. I didn't expect you to be going out in the wild, though.
I didn't either, but, you know, my best, you know, replacement is a tree right now, and I've got to do something about that besides sit in town and wait for something to happen. So I'm not doing that.
Well, let's get going, I guess.
As you guys set out through the ruins, you can tell that Maul feels very comfortable. She's just kind of pacing, not really ahead of you guys, but kind of like, you know, she has no problem walking through this area. The rest of you feel that usual kind of like lurching vertigo as you look out into these stretching ruins that lead off into a forest that's this kind of multicolor of deep purples and greens and blues that, you know, eventually leads into darker shaded boughs. When you walk out, now this is where you get to kind of like pick a direction and tell me where you want to head. So this is where we got to get out our roll 20.
Everyone say it with me. Map. I'm the map. I'm the map. I'm the map.
AA41 is supposed to be like where Smoky Banks is, right?
So I believe when you leave the ruins, you end up in that tile. Hang on, let me see. It's loading for some reason. That's taking. My gosh, how many ads do they have to put into this now?
I didn't get a single ad. I don't know what's.
Yeah, I'm getting like tons.
They want you to buy it. Yeah, AA41 is town, I think. Or at least maybe it's the ruins.
It's where you start, yeah. So, like, that jumps out at the ruins, yeah. Let's see, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so basically now you guys just kind of tell me a direction that you are headed in.
North.
All right, so you just want to do as north as possible?
I think so. I think that's where we're starting.
All right, everyone make me some kind of, like, navigating check.
Actually rolled decent.
6.
That gum.
Do you want me to use Danger Sense or Composed?
Danger Sense works.
Okay, -1.
Would Composed have been better?
Nope. Would have been worse. I'm a little distraught.
4. 3. Autumn and Estelle are going to either get along really well or be at each other's throats. There is no in-between for this trip for them.
Oh, wow. That worked out evenly that time. That never happens. Okay, you guys get to pick whether you jaunt a little bit east or west.
Probably east, since east. We're going to have to go east eventually.
Okie doke. Okay. So, the first part of this journey goes off mostly without a hitch. The forest right around the ruins is at this point extremely familiar to you. You know, maybe you run into some similar animals that you've seen before and you either know how to avoid or just know how to handle. You know, maybe you see some of those, like, you know, plants that release those spores that make you forget where you are, can steer around them. As you walk, it is sort of silent at first. Maul seems fairly relaxed. Mitchell seems nervy as everyone kind of just marches off in silence. You don't really know what the time frame is, so what would normally strike you as, at the very least, passingly beautiful, seeing, you know, the forest in the morning is usually a pretty beautiful sight, but right now is just kind of seemingly a barrier to anxiety, or like an anxiety-causing barrier, rather, right? It's just trees, hills, streams slow you down, and that's what you're feeling as you come up to this river at the far end of the tile that you're walking into that flows sort of north and east, right? It cuts across the tile, stopping in front of you. And it's fairly wide, and you don't know how deep it is. Maybe, like, as wide as a football field is, right? So not as long as one is, but the width of a football field is just water. You know, you're coming up to colder temperatures, and you're kind of just staring at this river. And I need everyone to make me some kind of notice check.
4.
Danger Sense or Inquisitive?
Danger Sense would work really well here.
+4.
0.
3 again.
So all of you are looking at this river, and it's kind of got to figure out how to get across.
That's all our checks get us.
I was about to ask if we didn't get anything from that.
I'll never tell.
Okay, okay. All right.
Can we not just, like, skirt around it to the east?
It's a river.
No, like, follow, can we not just follow the edge of the river? You said it goes east and then curves north, right?
Okay, so if you actually look at the map, it's literally on the map. So,
yeah,
you could keep going that way, but it goes...
I think we'll eventually have to cross it.
Well, you don't know, right? It might... if it goes... If you need to go north and it's cutting northeast, you would never be able to go north from here. You'd always be going northeast from here.
Do we have... How... Can we try to see how deep the river is?
If you want to tell me how to do that, sure.
Can I... stick my spear into it?
Yeah.
I do that.
Okay, so, like, you go up to the bank of the river and you, like, reach in as far as you can and stick your spear in, but you gotta understand, you know, like, you're talking about something the width of a football field and you're standing on a bank, right? Bank comes down, it's sandy, there's pebbles, the river across is moving slow but is there, and you poke your spear into the water, and it's like, when you pull it out, it's maybe a foot deep. But that's an arm length away.
We're still in, like, mild climate, right?
Yeah, it's not cold at all yet.
Cool. I guess I'll, like, leave my backpack and, like, stuff by the shore and, like, wade out and see how deep it is.
Okay, make me, like, athletics.
Finally. That'll be a 7.
Okay, so you start wading out across the river and... You're pretty physically confident. As you go across, you realize the water's, like, going. Would you stop at any point? Like, where would you stop? Like, how high does the water get up on you before you're like, this is, like, further than I should be going?
Probably, like, chest height.
Okay, so you get out to where it's chest height, and you turn around and look, and you're maybe almost halfway across the river. You can tell it's going to get a little deeper, but you're not only just now getting in, right? So you could think maybe... it's going to go up to my neck and then start to come back down, or I could turn around now. Which one do you want to do?
I don't have any of my stuff, so I'd need to go back regardless. I can't just forge on.
Yes, I would say also with the caveat of, like, you know, other people can carry it.
I think I'll go on and see how deep it is and if I can get across.
Cool. So you manage to get your way all the way across, right? As so, like, you're coming up on the bank and you turn around and look at the rest of your party, right? The rest of you, you're standing on the bank looking out as Autumn wades her way all the way up, you know, to her shoulders. And then just, like, a little bit deeper as you just see her head starting to bob along. And as you do, you look up the current of the river, right, which would be to the west, and you see something coming down the river. And at first, you're like, eh, whatever, that's probably no big deal. And then the longer you look, you realize that thing's far away, and I can see it. It is not small. You keep watching as a creature that is not entirely strange, but maybe you haven't specifically seen before. And I want you to understand what birds are in your world, right? Like, you see what looks like a very scary duck coming towards you. And when I say a very scary duck, I mean a swimming bird who has a long, razor-sharp beak, burning, predatory eyes that are very forward-facing. You know that out of the water, these birds would maybe come up just a little bit above your waist, but they are very stocky and very layered. They're kind of like a seal, but a bird. So, you know, they're designed to have layers of fat and feathers that protect them from the cold weather. And they're famous for hunting large river reptiles.
So, Cody, real quick. There's like a, have you ever heard the, I don't know, not really a joke, but a question that you can use to start an argument with people about, would you rather fight a bunch of duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Yeah.
Did you just give us a horse-sized duck?
Yeah, it's big. Well, I mean, I guess it's more like a like baby or a little Sebastian-sized duck, you know? But now you get to decide if you want to fight a flightless little Sebastian-sized duck.
I'm out of the water, right? Or am I in the water still?
Yeah, so you're out of the water, and you look back at your party members who, I guess, how do you guys respond to a giant predatory duck beelining towards Autumn on the other side of the river?
I mean, based on how fast it's going, how soon will it be here?
Soon. It's going with the current, and it's not slow.
So is it just going down the river, though, or is it, like, making for Autumn, specifically?
I guess, like, imagine if you saw a tiger coming down the river. Would you make that distinction? You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah.
Like, at some point, that's a tiger.
But, like, if it's just, like, going its own way, and Autumn is on the bank, like, at a certain point, it's like, okay, everybody lay low. It's just passing through, you know what I mean?
That's a viable answer. Like, I'm not going to say you're wrong to do that, but it, you know.
Okay.
This would be the equivalent of a very large predatory mammal like a tiger just swimming down the river near your friend.
Okay.
Does Autumn notice this or no? Because I rolled bad on my perception.
So the bad on your danger, that first danger sense roll, is why, like, this thing is going to single you out in terms of, like, what's going to actually happen in the story.
Okay.
The doing well in the swimming means that you're finding this thing on land, not in the water. All right, everyone else, you guys, how you handling this? I'll say that the three people on the bank get to decide first. The three people not across the river get to decide first.
Anyone have a large loaf of bread?
I think Estelle is... Yeah, okay. I think she's going to fall back on her, what she usually does around predatory animals. And she's going to take out a pot and maybe another pot. Something that's going to make loud noises and start, you know, banging away and trying to scare it via being loud.
Okay. Fred, you doing anything?
I think he would just pull out his axe and get ready to fight.
Okay, cool. So, Estelle, make me some animal handling.
Not great, considering it's my good skill. Plus three.
Okay, so you start clanging this pan together, and you see this big predatory duck startles and starts definitely now swimming away from your bank and back over towards Autumn. Autumn, you look up and you hear pots clanging on the other side of the river. And at first, you just see Estelle hitting pans together. You're like, that's weird. And then, you know, 10 degrees to your right, and you see a giant predatory waterfowl coming towards you.
What is on this bank with me?
So this would be another sandy bank that, you know, you'd have pebbles, like a sandy, pebbly beach leading down to the river. And it's like shallow for a while, then gets deep. Behind you, smooth bank up to underbrush and forest.
Okay. So hiding is, like, would be difficult.
You certainly could try.
You have to, like, run to get there, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, you're right now pretty out in the open.
Are there any decently sized rocks around?
Sure, yeah. I mean, like, fist-sized for sure.
Cool. I'm going to arm myself and be ready to fight a bird.
I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. You can kind of just do what you're going to do. The bird's coming towards you, and it has murder in its eyes. If what you're doing is throwing a rock, you got to do that now.
No, I'm not throwing a rock. I'm waiting until it gets close, and I'm clubbing it with a rock.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, what I want you to do is make me some kind of, like, mental fortitude check, because that would be hard to do.
I have no empathy?
No, this would have to be like...
No. I think it should be empathy. You said it has murder in its eyes. I'm feeling murder in my eyes.
That would make it way worse if you could, like, go, I know how this thing feels. I know how much I want to kill. Like, that's so much worse. That's way worse. Yeah, no, you're going to have to roll some kind of, like, cool under pressure.
Can I get persistent?
Sure.
Cool. Zero.
Okay. So you're standing there with a rock going, okay, I'm going to hit this bird in the face. And it's totally silent. It doesn't make any noise. And you got to understand, this thing's maybe got a quarter of the distance across a football field. It's swimming towards you. And as it gets closer, you can see it unfurl huge muscular wings that it usually uses to swim through the water and assist it in swimming. It's short, but very, like, stocky. It looks like a solid block of muscle with one razor-sharp beak on the front of it. You can tell what this thing is meant to do is lunge at very large animals like snapping turtles and bite their heads off, right? That's how it hunts, is in quick stabbing motions. And you're standing there with a rock, and it's taking forever to get to you. It's probably a minute, but imagine a minute staring down this creature as you feel yourself start to shake, as you realize, yeah, if I time this wrong, I'm going to get impaled by a beak. Cool. And it comes up on the bank and pauses and starts slowly walking towards you, still making no sound, wings outfurled, and the moment you blink, you see it lunge at you. Roll your attack.
I'm assuming that I can use athletics for this one.
You can use athletics for this, and I will say the fact that you're shaking does increase how difficult this is.
How does a 7 do?
A 7 does really good. So this thing lunges at you, and you have that moment, that Dark Souls moment, where it lunges and you go, swing now, and you're like, nope, gotta wait. That'll be too soon. As right before you can almost feel the beak biting into you, you just hit it right in the head and it just drops to the ground dead.
I want you to have played Sekiro now, because, like, there's a spear attack they do where you stomp on it and then stab them. And that's what this feels like.
That's a sucky thing to wait for.
Right, like, you gotta wait till they thrust at you and then you step on it. And I'm like, that's what she's doing.
As you do, there's, like, a grotesque crunch as the rock hits the bird and your hand comes back covered in blood. As you can still feel your pulse racing as this thing just boom, dies in front of you. And you're still just kind of shaking alone on a beach, hoping there's not more birds.
In the distance, you see Fred has started to sprint to, like, try to cross the river and then stops the bank when the thing dies suddenly in one hit.
I think Autumn just, like is shaking, like, looks at her hands and, like, looks at the bird. And then just, like, kind of sits down, kind of numb, and, like, is just overwhelmed and, like, cries for a second while you guys figure out how to get over to her.
What did we figure out about how deep the water is? It's swimmable?
Neck height on Autumn, who's tall.
She's tall for a woman. She's not, like, Zach tall, though.
Yeah, but still.
So Mitchell, sorry, Sheriff, we're on a first name basis, can come across fine, I would assume. Is Sheriff Mitchell like a short guy? How tall is Sheriff Mitchell?
Average. Why would I know an exact height for Sheriff Mitchell? When do I ever know these exactly to the number? Are all of you guys just going across the river, just walking, basically?
I'm trying to figure out how to not get all our stuff wet.
Hold it above your head.
I was just thinking that too. What if we had Fred throw one of the ropes that you have over to Autumn, and we kind of do like have him do one of those things where we can like move our stuff across. You know, you like pull on the rope to move the stuff across, and it's like a
pulley, but sideways.
Yeah, yeah, something like that, just to move everything across so that all stays dry.
Like on a raft, basically.
Oh, that would work too if you just like had it like a pulley on a raft.
Raft would work too, yeah, but I was thinking just purely like hang it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I was thinking. It's like hang it onto the rope.
And then just pull it.
It gets over to Autumn, she takes it off. Puts it down, but the rope's still, like, going in a circle.
Okay.
Make me a crafting check for that. And I'll say the crafting is also the doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can try a couple times now that we have someone on the other side.
Yeah. My guess is Autumn would have to wait out again a little bit for us to throw it to her, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still, like, present. She's just waiting for you guys to make decisions.
That is a 4.
Okay, so yeah, like Autumn, they flag you back in, Fred hucks you a rope, you guys, you know, set up this little pulley system to drag your stuff across the river, that all goes mostly without a hitch. It takes a little while. And as you guys all get over to the far end, Autumn, Sheriff Mitchell walks up to you and goes, "Is that the first time you've just been charged by an animal like that?"
Do you count the Blighthounds chasing us?
I guess, yes, I would count those, yeah.
Then no. It's number two.
Pretty good job for number two.
Well, three. I think there was once where I was charged by a mole. A giant mole.
A giant mole. Oh! Oh, yeah. Okay, I forgot about the giant moles.
And there's the toads.
They didn't charge me. They got you and Estelle.
Okay.
And he, like, that's a little fuzzy because there was, like, weird flowers around. So maybe three? Maybe three.
Pretty good for only your third time doing that, I've got to say.
Thanks.
And as he's having that conversation, Maul comes over and cuts the head off the bird and then cuts its feet off and starts field dressing it. And then looks up and goes, "Do you guys not want to eat the bird? I assumed we would eat the bird. Do not." I'm going to eat this.
That seems resourceful.
Are you just going to leave it on the ground? Of course not. Also, save the beak.
Like, if you have room in your pack, I'm not going to judge.
Yeah, Fred probably wants the beak as a weapon.
I mean, that beak could be made into a pretty fierce weapon, couldn't it?
Now, honestly, that's the kind of thinking I like. Exactly, that beak could be made into a very fierce weapon, or quite a nice necklace.
Or both. Utilitarian accoutrements, right?
Do you want a stab necklace? I see you don't have a knife. You should at least have a stab necklace.
I do have a knife. Honey was very insistent on that.
She is a smart lady. Whoever came up with her, like, as a concept, genius, gotta say.
Just Obama giving himself a medal there.
You know what? No, you know what? I'll second that. Whoever came up with that, genius. Done nothing wrong. Please don't kill my girlfriend.
All right, so you guys are in that tile. You've moved through it, so you can now, like, you know, define a direction, make rolls.
Juliet has a towel, so she helps everybody dry off.
I think we all have towels, Caitlin.
Do we?
And Fred has one.
Oh, okay.
Because Fred's hiking kit exclusively came from his bathroom.
That's right.
Awesome. Also, Autumn also has a towel.
Oh, okay.
Are you just, like, sadly, like, dabbing Autumn's, like, face a little bit as she's, like, despondently staring off?
I mean, yeah, I would wrap a towel around her shoulders if she seemed to be in shock, you know?
She's going through a lot. I don't know if she's in shock, but she is going through a lot.
Well, yeah, Juliet would wrap a towel around her shoulders and help her dry off.
So we're doing another notice type roll?
Yeah, this would just be whatever you use for navigation again.
Four.
If I can do danger sense, plus two.
Plus three.
Zero.
Kagooga combo breaker.
All right, so as you continue traveling, the pathway gets more and more, but the land around you gets fairly difficult to traverse. It gets very marshy and very swampy. You're sinking up to your knees in muck as you're trying to, you know, pull your way through this stuff.
Jeez!
You're losing your boots in the mud. It's a mess because you're in this kind of low area surrounded by water, you know. The river is right to your right, so you can still hear that gurgling around, and you think far to the west, not far, but a little bit, a couple miles off to the west, you can hear flowing water over there. So this whole area is just kind of like a marshy river valley that you're slogging your way through. The insects are starting to pick up. Uncomfortably, there are small birds flying around eating those. The trees become a little bit more sparse as you hit these areas that are, like, totally flooded, and you're having to, like, slurp your way through. That takes a long time, and your progress gets painfully slow. And you can feel the clock ticking as you see the sun, like, past the midday, or the sun's past the midday point, that, like, rotation of blue and orange light high in the sky. You're like, this is taking forever. And you come
over a little hill where it gets dry, back down into a marshy valley, and you see a dilapidated wooden cabin sitting on rickety stilts in the marsh.
Is there any sign of activity there? You know, like a craft that's tied up at a dock, or laundry, or smoke, or anything like that.
You can roll me some kind of notice check.
That is a one.
Sure is a house. Very house-like.
Cool.
This house is made of house.
I'm going to roll with Danger Sense to see if I get any vibes.
Vibes.
Yeah. I love this. I'm excited.
How are the vibes, Dad?
Vibes are a plus four.
Guffy starts growling and fluffs up. He's like a balloon of fur as he's like... And Maul kind of just looks down at him and goes, what's up with that? Is that just, like, normal, or?
No.
Usually it's a bad sign.
Oh. I like being able to sleep in people's houses. I mean, it's usually pretty convenient if there's beats sleeping outside, you know?
Yeah, but I get the feeling Guffy is noticing something that we're not.
So are we skipping it? I don't think the wolf is here, so I'm not sure that I need to see inside.
What's the time of day, Cody?
It's, call it 2 in the afternoon.
Oh, okay.
As you guys are talking, Sheriff Mitchell just goes, are there people living out here? Like, is that frequent that there's just people out here in the wilds?
We've run into people here and there. It's not, like, frequent.
That's concerning. There's not supposed to be anyone out here. That's kind of the whole point.
You said it's like a cabin on stilts?
Yeah, like, have you seen, like, in areas that are where there's water, they'll build the house up on stilts so that the water level doesn't rise and flood out the house?
Yeah, okay.
That doesn't seem like a weird part. That's, like, typical for building in a swamp.
I just want a right description.
I think isn't the this is going to be real niche. The granddad's house in Bluey, when they, like, go visit him camping, like, his friend's house.
Oh, you know.
I don't know if it's his friend's house or his house. I think it's his friend's house, where they, like, have the canoe, like, tied up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Mandy?
I do. I actually, there's a, gonna cut this, there's houses down in Galveston that are this kind. I just wanted to confirm that it wasn't like Baba Yaga walking around on chicken legs and it was on like
No.
Good thing to confirm.
And I would say so the pictures that Zach are sending are really good. It's the middle picture that looks the most like a shed, not the bottom picture that looks like a beautiful witch's house. It's the shed one, not the nice one.
I saw the shed or the nice one and I'm like, okay, but this looks really cool. I want to play the campaign where we get to find a witch in that house.
Okay, do we peek in or do we keep going?
Last time Guffy growled like that, there was carnage everywhere. So I'm fine with just moving on. Don't know about the rest of you.
I don't think I'm in a good headspace to be making decisions, so I'll let you guys decide.
Fred, how are you feeling?
I'd be lying if I wasn't intrigued about the house, but I don't really know if we have to stop. Unless we think there's going to be danger that follows us after we pass by.
Maul goes, just so you know, whatever's in there, if it tries to kill all of you, I'll try to kill it as well, you know, so it can be a mutual, won't just be you, you know, you have backup.
Good to know. I kind of think we keep going.
Watch our backs anyway, though. That would be good.
As you say that, she kind of like gestures at you with the chicken that she's, or like, not the chicken, the big duck that she's like holding the plucked carcass of and goes, I always watch my friends' backs. Unless they get really far ahead of me and get attacked by a duck. Sorry about that, Autumn. I probably should have done more than I did.
I think it all worked out in the end. You're going to cook the duck for me, so it's a win-win, right?
I'm going to cook the duck for us.
I mean, I was going to share.
Okay, you guys doing anything else?
I think we're passing this by.
All right, you give the little shack a wide berth as you slurp through the swamp, looking back on it, knowing deep in your hearts that you've abandoned your dungeon master's hard work and plot points for the sake of safety as you go on unharmed.
You randomly generated this.
Right, I'm like, our dungeon master's hard work where he hit roll on a chart and got a swamp bog.
I technically didn't roll that, but, you know, it's okay. It's okay. I'll say, like, pulling the curtain back, you guys did not miss anything that critical. It's fine. I'm not mad.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.